last Sunday we talked about God loves me and then he has forgiven me. And that's important. Okay, so today we're dealing with something, and next Sunday we'll deal with something else. So it's still all about the love of God, because if you don't know what he is, it's him as much, or appreciate whatever he's done for us as much. So we'll begin from Romans chapter 5, and then we'll start Romans 5 from the 6th verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The love of God, it's so amazing, so beautiful. The Bible says in Romans 5, 6, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, one would even dare to die. Verse 8 says, but God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's the law. God commended his love. We'll go back to verse 6, maybe the Passion Translation, and then see how he renders it there. God loves us, so he forgave us. He's not trying to forgive us. He forgave us. I know many times, and like we said last Sunday, we don't feel forgiven. We don't feel, you know, and then our feelings will arise. Our feelings will, you know, many times get the better part of us. But we have to tell our feelings, listen, I have to come to the Word of God. I have to stay with the Word of God. So Romans 5 says, the Passion Translation says, for when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Thank you. Now, who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. I like this rendition. Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. He proved his love. You know, sometimes and many times I've heard people say, oh God, prove your love for me, let me get the job. Prove your love for me, let me get the promotion. Prove your love for me, and you know, we've added a number of things on that list. But he has proved his love. He died. He took our place. Everything we're looking for and everything we desire is somewhere within this, and it's smaller than this. He proved his love. Could you say, God loves me? God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. This is his love. He proved it. All right? Because you and I have to understand how much he loves us. 2 Corinthians 5, and then repeat the 19th verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. God loves us, so Jesus died for us. So, now, but this is the, you know, interesting part of how we many times think about this. So Jesus died for sinners, and Jesus resurrected, but we still remain sinners. So many times we pray, and then we're trying to say, God, I am a sinner. And then we keep repeating, I am a sinner. But question is, if he died for sinners, and then we still remain sinners after he died, why did he die? Anybody ever tried putting that together? If he died for sinners, I mean, Easter is next month. You know, the Lenten season is on. People are preparing. And then everybody's going to talk about, you know, the death of Jesus, the passion of the Christ. And then there'll be many plays and dramas and, you know, people walking down the street for the cross and all that, you know. And then we're going to replay the moment. But at the end of the moment, what's next? You know, I remember, you know, growing up then, and then we watched the movie Jesus of Nazareth. And then, you know, some people cry, some people feel bad. And, you know, then they watch the whole gory event. And of course, many years later, Gibson came up with The Passion of Christ and tried being as dramatic as possible. And people will cry and cry and cry, you know. But when he was going through all of that, He wasn't going through it for no reason. He went through it because the love of God was for Jesus to become the sacrifice. Nobody, the trouble man got into in Genesis was big. And the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, you know, like red last week, you know, the blood of animals could not in any way take this thing away. You know, people get to wonder, if Adam just handed this thing over to the devil, couldn't God just come and say, Adam, I mean, devil, hand it back? No. God will therefore be unjust and God will be unrighteous. Let me quickly explain this. You know, you'll get it. God gave authority to man. The Bible says the heavens, all heavens belong to God, and the earth have been given to the children of men. So God gave authority to man. Then man handed the authority over to Satan. If God shows up and say, Satan, give it back to me, it's unlawful. Why? It was man's legal property handed over to him by God, then man legally handed it over to the devil. You say legally, how? God leased the earth to man. Man. And I think this is what I'm saying. Let me explain. Why do you think we pray? Someone said many years ago that it seems that God will do nothing except for me. Well, why do you think we pray? The major reason why we pray. Yes, or why would he be? He's opening the door. That's, you know, why? Why? Prayer is you saying, God, I'm giving you a room in this place. I'm allowing you here. I'm allowing you here. The earth, and this is what I'm about to help someone here. The earth belongs to man, not God. God created the earth and then gave it to man. Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over everything. So the earth was given to man by God. So authority over the earth was given to man by God. That's how when they were building the tower, God did not say it was impossible. I looked at that in the Bible study. God said nothing can be restrained from them. You can imagine, you know, to do. There's a new device. There's something else. So I want you to get it. So I'm saying that why do we pray? So first, we pray because we need to get something. We pray because if you don't pray, you're not allowing God to have access to the earth. In Ezekiel 22, God was saying that I sought for a man so that destruction will not come upon the earth. And then he said, I found nobody. Question is, why was God looking for a man? Because a man has to cooperate with God for God to do something on the earth. God can't just come into the earth. Oh, but he's God, he's sovereign. Yes, in his sovereignty, he now gave dominion to man. So man has dominion. Why do you think the prophets are prophesying to you? That's getting very difficult. Because God has to put an idea inside a man, and he wants the man to voice it out. And by them voicing it out, they are agreeing with God for what he wants to do in the earth. God cannot just do it. Yeah, now let's call prophecy. So God puts it there. Isaiah said, a virgin will give birth. A virgin will give birth. Why did Isaiah say it? Because the Bible said that God will do nothing except he reveals it to his servants or prophets. Why does he reveal it to them so that they can say it? When a man says it, he has agreed with what God wants to do. So that's why prayer wins. So it's a key because God says, I have to enter when you are the man and you are allowing me. Where I'm going to tell the story, where he says it a number of times, and I love the illustration. He says it's like when, you know, God comes to your house and you have 10 rooms, and then, you know, Jesus says, can I come to you? I say, yeah, but just take one room. I love you, Jesus, so take one room. So when the devil comes to harass you, and then he harasses you, and then he says, Jesus, why didn't you do anything about it? He said, because you gave me one room. He says, the devil didn't enter the room. You gave me, he entered the house.
not my room.
Okay, so just stay 2 rooms.
And then comes again, he's never going to give me 2 rooms. Then the person over time becomes very smart and says, just take the house. And then devil doesn't come again. Why? Because you're now giving him room, access, authority over that. Even when God was going to flood the earth, he needed agreement with one man. His name was Noah. He had to share the idea with someone. And then Noah agreed. Is anybody getting this? So God needs to do something, but God needs to do it by talking to someone about it. So all these earthquakes and all these things God acts of, but they are not acts of God. It's a devil. And many times the Church of Jesus has not identified who the enemy is, so something becomes wrong. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then when someone dies in a family, we say the Lord give it and the Lord take it. God does not take. He's not a taker. One of the ways God likes to take you, carry you spirit, soul, and body, like carry your life there, then he'll take you. That's how God likes to take you. When there's an accident, I'll say, God took. No, he didn't take. It's the destruction of the enemy. Satan is at work. Let's look at the temptation of Jesus. We could check one in Matthew chapter 4. So I just use that to explain. So in Matthew 4. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 of Matthew 4, it says, And when the tempter, so I want you to notice that Jesus was tempted. Say tempted. All right, so temptation is here. A pulling away to something wrong, something contrary, something negative, an enticement. All right. Now, so he was tempted, right? So when the tempter came to him, he said to him, if you're the son of God, command stone to be bread. So that was the first one. Then verse 5. Then the tempter watched his face into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle, and says to him, if you're the son of God, to yourself. That was the second one. Then verse 8. Again, the devil takes him where now? Up into an extremely high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms. What now? Of this world, and says to him, all this I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Look, I'm so serious. What are the people that lose? Look for. Yeah, great. All right, Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 5. Luke 4, 5. Thank you. So Luke 4, 5. And the devil taking him on a high mountain. Don't forget, it is a temptation, yeah? Takes him on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I what? Give you and the glory of them. Why? Because what? It has been delivered to me and anybody I want. So what will I do? Give it. This is a temptation, yes or no? If this was not a true statement, Jesus would have said they're lying. That means this was true. And Jesus not contest the fact that it had been given to him. I mean, this happened. It's a temptation. So you can't tempt me and say you give me something that I already. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the lie. Jesus would know that you're lying, bro. It's a lie. This doesn't belong to you. So the devil said, I will give it to you because it has been given to me. And anybody I want, I'll give it to them. So it's about the glory of the world. The devil could give it because it was handed over to him legally by her. There were two people in the garden. There was one person that was given an instruction. There were not. Adam was given instruction, not me. Adam obviously gave instruction to Eve. So Eve obviously didn't get the gist, in my own simple opinion. So Eve, but it was Eve that was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam walked into something his life or whatever he understand. First Timothy chapter 2. Not entering theology, right? What is needed. Yes. First Timothy 2:13. All right, thank you. So Adam was formed first, and then who? Eve. Now, verse 14. This is very interesting, verse 11. Adam was deceived. Who was deceived? Adam, no, guys, let's read. What does it say? Adam was deceived. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being what? Deceived by this translation. So Adam was not deceived. So it wasn't that the devil came and deceived two people. No, he deceived one person. That was Eve. Likely she didn't get the full information. Or whatever it was, you know. Because, you know, God didn't say don't even touch. But if I get, God said we should not even touch it. So whatever. So she was the one. So that means she ate the thing and Bible said she gave it to her husband that was beside her and he gave it to her and said, it tastes good, right? Yeah, oh, let's go. And then he eats the thing up. Okay, let's move on. But Adam was not this. So Adam did something, whatever it was, all right? And that thing became the crisis for the whole of humanity. Now, I'm not saying that to blame on Adam. We've also done more. So. Now, so Jesus is, so the devil is telling Jesus, listen, this thing was given. And I'm going to all that to explain that God gave the earth to man. Let him have dominion. So the earth belongs to man. And then man hands the dominion over to Satan. So Satan, the Bible calls him 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We'll pick it from verse 3. So, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to the people that are perishing. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age or God of this world has blinded so that they will not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ be made of God to shine on them. So that position, not just the people, that verse. That position of God of the age, God of the world, God of the system, it was not Satan's position from the beginning. It was handed over. Don't forget Genesis 1 again. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over every living thing that creates. Adam's dominion was next to God. Who named all the animals on earth? Adam, not God. God created them. And Bible said in Genesis, God allowed them to pass before Adam to see whatever Adam would need them. And Adam's intellect, Adam's creative ability was so high that Bible said whatever he named them, that was what they were. It means he didn't name anything. And God said, no, he made a mistake. That this one should have called it. What shall I? My thought. Okay, so if he named the animals would have included birds and animals would have included fish. Did the fish have to come out of water? Adam in that water. He still named them. And the birds had to land before they flew. And this man named everything. Adam had dominion over the lion, over the snake, over every single thing. There was no fear in the Garden of Eden. Fear entered when sin entered. Adam said, "We heard your voice and we're afraid." So went to hide ourselves. God said, "That's a strange language. There's no fear here." Now, like the New Testament, God says, "Perfect love cast out fear." There's no fear in the kingdom of God. God has not given you the spirit of fear. So fear is not of the kingdom. That's why when an angel showed up to some person, like he says, fear not. Adam was, there was nothing like fear. You need fear the lion, the serpent, the hippopotamus, the rhino, whatever, you know. Other big, massive creatures would have existed back in that time. Adam feared nothing, nobody. And his dominion wasn't physical, it wasn't might, it was a spiritual dominion. And then he handed the thing over to Satan, and then by disobedience, anyway, everything opened up, everything fell into place. So now, God knowing I gave this place to man, for man has given another authority, you now say, okay, God, you came to man, and man gave it to them, why can't you just come and call it back into the unjust and unrighteous? It was a man that lost it. It will have to be a man that has to be a man. And that was a truth the devil never understood. So God told him in Genesis chapter 3 that the seed of the woman will produce your life. And I'm sure he's been looking for that seed all over that. So he saw Cain and he saw Abel. And then he watched the sacrifices. And he saw that, oh, God accepted the sacrifice of Abel. That must be the seed of the woman.
So he pushed King to then kill Abel. He didn't know that God was watching. And then he's been trying over time, looking for who exactly the seed of the woman was. Searching all the while. Because God said the seed of the woman will bruise your heads. He's watching, looking, searching, and trying to kill every seed. Moses was going to be born. He said, this might be the seed of the woman. Let's kill all the male children in Egypt. Then they finally came to the time of Jesus. Oh, we found the seed of the woman. Let's kill off all the babies born in Israel. And they kept missing it till they finally killed Jesus. And not knowing that that was a trick. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord. That was a trick. It had to be a man. So God had to become man. That was a trick. He didn't catch it. So man lost the authority and man lost the dominion. So a man has to come and take it back. That's why when Jesus resurrected, those disciples, all power in heaven and on earth have been given to me. A man lost it, another man went to get it back. God could not come and collect it. But God has to come in the person of Jesus Christ. Are we getting this? You know, so things happen and we say, well, God doesn't do bad stuff. God doesn't kill people. God doesn't take people in accidents. God doesn't take people on sick beds. God doesn't take away women when you're about to give birth to babies and, you know, kill the baby, kill the mother. I mean, so God doesn't do all those mean stuff. Your baby doesn't become born with a, you know, born autistic, right? And then we say, oh, maybe that's the plan. That's wickedness. Maybe God also teaches the parents humility. No, it's wickedness. It's evil. Something even as simple as a child wants to grow teeth and a child has to have fever to grow teeth. Whoever thought of that thing is wicked. It's wickedness. We've accepted it, but it's wickedness. A lady has to go through a certain and she must be in bed. And I know some that every time she was in that monthly period, she has to look for something cold, lie down on bare cold floor. That is evil. God didn't do that to you. That's wickedness. But we don't know, so we accept it. We enter our 50s and we start losing our memory. I will say, oh, it's age. No. The outward man may wear, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So if we don't know what God's plan is and what the agenda is and what God has rescued us from, we're going to go through a whole lot of stuff that we shouldn't go through. You say, oh, it's asthma, and I have it because when I was young, I was exposed to that. You could be exposed to a million things and come out of there untouched. And if for any reason you were and then you became asthmatic, you can learn what we're saying this morning and tell us, I'm going to walk out of that asthma right now. That thing should happen. Because it's not the will of God. God didn't create these things. But it's not the agenda of God. First Corinthians 15. I mean, the devil is messing up the lives of newborn babies, just messing up kids, messing up families at home. And we're so religious, you know, and so loving, you know, we love God. We just accept it all and say, maybe it's just God's will. No, it's not. No, it's not. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Hallelujah. Very interesting. Simple, straight verse, but very interesting. For since by man came what? Death. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. This is a very shocking verse. You wonder how come death came by man? I don't say that brought death. No, it was man. By man came death. Death came through man. So the reason why people die, the reason why things happened, it was man that created it. So God had to become man to nullify it. You know, God had to become man to suffer from them, to suffer the thing, to suffer what's going on. Amen. It's getting ready. So Romans 5:3. So we'll connect this verse.
Please note this person, you might check them and bring them. You have questions. Romans 5 and 12. Thank you. Watch this. Therefore, just as through one man, what entered the world? Sin entered the world, and then death entered through sin. So death spread to how many people? All men, because how many people sin? All. What did we got with? One man. So we know people who say, oh, but the devil brought sin to the world, and then the devil brought death to the world. No, it was existing, but it couldn't enter the world. There was a door in there. But one man opened the door. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, at the moment sin entered, something else followed it. What was that? That, if you remember in Genesis 2, God told Adam, the day you eat of this thing, you're going to die. You know, I could almost imagine, you know, I could almost guess, you know, that when they did what they did, God after I just thought, are we dead? What are they? Okay. Well, good, we're alive. Because sometimes that's we really just, you know, face by because they died, but they didn't die. They did die. Because there are two types of death. There's a spiritual death, and then there's a physical death. So they died a spiritual death. They were disconnected from their life source. They were disconnected from God, completely disconnected. So that affected them. So in that they died. So he's saying here, watch this. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death entered through sin, and death spread upon all men because of sin. These are interesting things. So sin entered the world, then death. Let me explain. No, sorry. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, all right, and death entered how? Through sin. So this is part now. So death did what? Spread to how many people? So why do we die? Because God wants us to die? No, because sin entered the world, and death entered the world. That's all. Please understand this. Please understand this. It's not, and this death again here is not physical, it's spiritual, first of all. And this spiritual death is what gives birth to every evil thing on this earth. And God told them, the day you eat this thing, you're gonna die. The day you eat this thing, you're gonna die. Something's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen. Genesis 3, maybe from 14. So God said to Satan, because you've done this thing, you're cursed, you know, more than all the cattle, more than every piece of the field, on your belly you will go and eat dust, all this, like, let's go. I'll put enmity between you know, and the woman, between your seed and the seed. He, the seed of the woman, will bruise your head and will bruise its heel. To the woman, she said, I will break you multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain, you will bring four children, and your desires will be to your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you have given to the body of your wife and are eating from the tree that I commanded you not to eat, you will, you know, that I commanded you saying, you will not eat, you curse the ground for your sake. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Tongues and tissues it will bring forth for you, and you will eat of the herbs of you. All right, in sweat of your face, you will eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you will take again, and out of it you will return. Now, so we've looked at all of this, but basically what God was telling Adam is, this is death. I want to break down and tell you something. I'm going to show you something. So someone says, well, God said we're going to sweat before we can eat. Yes, indeed. God said, I'm going to have to have a lot of pain and my life's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. But God is not saying it because, I want you to get this. God is not saying, see what you've done? The way it's rendered, you read. So God just got mad and just said a lot of nasty things. No. God is telling them the consequences of what they've done. This is the effect of what you have created. This is what this thing is. You have opened the door. Please understand, because we read Romans 5, he said, through one man, sin entered the world, and then death entered through sin. So God is saying, this is the result. This was going to happen because of what you've done. This is what you've done. So this is what's going to happen. These are the things that will happen to you. This gets more interesting. So I want to move on faster. Jeremy chapter 30, verse 19. So I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that, so I'll show you, all right, that I have what now, what do you say? Set before you, help me, is what I say? Life and death, and then what now? Blessing and then cursing, so what did we say? Therefore choose life so that you understand that's meaning, all right. So he says, this is Moses, please get this. So that you have a picture of likely what happened in Genesis. God said through Moses to the people, I have set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. So two things are on one side, life and what now? Blessing. And on this side you have what now? Death and curses. So it means where there is life, there has to be blessing. It means where there is what? Death, there will be what? Curses. So if I see curses, what is happening there? Death. If I see blessings, what is happening there? Life. Now, I'm going to run you through something quickly. We'll deal with it better later. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make our image after life. And then we'll do. So Bible said, and God blessed them. So in blessing them, what he was impacting on them was life. Something that will make them flourish and excel and do well. This language you find in Genesis 13 is not written like that in Genesis, in Jeremiah 30, rather. It's not written like this in Genesis chapter 2, but it's there. God tells Adam, there are many trees in this place you can eat. But don't touch this one. You know what God just told him? I said before you, life and death. Choose one. Don't touch the wrong one. This choice has been existing from the beginning. Until God had to personally now package Jesus Christ. And he also declared, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, upon life. So it's been there. The choice has been there from the beginning. Life and death. Life and death. Life and death. From the very beginning, the choices have been existing. So Moses tells them, choose. So I'm trying to explain that what Adam did was Adam chose death. So what follows death? Curse. The day you eat of this thing, you will die. You, how did he die? Curses came on the earth. So you now see volcanic eruption and say, well, it is not the act of God, it's an effect of death, which is a curse. So something goes wrong. I mean, one horrible story about happened many years ago. The couple got married, headed to their honeymoon, they got involved in a gas motor accident and they died. That's wrong. That is so wrong. So wrong. It is so wrong. It's wrong. You know, it is just wrong. And then very many things just happen like this is wrong. This is wrong. And we need to know what is wrong. We need to know what to fight with. So God did not, now only Genesis 3. He's angry, he's fuming, you know, fire bursting from his nostrils and his ears and his nose red and blue. And says, I curse you before. No, God has placed before Adam life and death. Do you know an interesting thing? The tree of life was in that garden. And then when God talked about all the trees, he never said no to the tree of life. Good for God. He just never went. But after man disobeyed, God now said, lest they touch the tree of life also. Let's get them out of this place. But before that, he didn't say that. He said that. Let us put in touch. So I place for you life and death, blessing and cursing. So Adam once again chose death. So curses followed So when Romans are already in there, said through man, sin entered the world, death entered by sin, and death spread upon all men. Let's go back to that. So I think this is right. Romans 5. I think this is right. So Moses said, okay, sorry, that's so true. Well, coming back to the next week. Thank you. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death entered through sin, so death spread to how many people? All men. So it means death happened, it means the curses happened. It happened all over the world. It happened to everybody. That's the question. Welcome to death. Welcome to the kingdom. So we skip now to the 17th verse. For if by one man's offense, death did what? Reign. Question. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. Who actually reigns? A king. It means death became what? King. Through one man's offense, death reigned. Amen. But there are two. So there's Amplified Classic, and then there's the new one. So that's yes, thank you. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned, notice the use of the word reign, through that one, much more surely will those who what? Receive God's overflowing grace of merited favor and the free gift of righteousness put into them into residence in God. Reign as what now? So who reigns? Kings. So it said, through one man's offense, death reigns. Why do we pray before we come? We're not praying because we don't come. We're not really praying because we're to bless the journey. No. So I'm praying because we're afraid something happens on the trip. At least 80% of the students. They feel it. Is death reigning in the kingdom? Why do people get afraid of saying God? Somehow. Why are people afraid of heights? I've said before, I'll say it again. Nobody's afraid of seeing heights. Nobody fears the same. There's nothing that's fear of seeing heights. But it's a fear of what the snake heights will eat. Yeah. Nobody's afraid of that. Nobody fears it. You fear the death. This guy, thank you. And death has its very form, so loss of life, loss of job, loss of health, loss of, you know, a friend, a loved one, just tears people apart. So the greatest fear is the fear of death. It's the one that now leads to many other fears. Why are people afraid to be alone? They just fear loneliness. They fear, people fear rejection. They fear. So it's just fear of something. There's just fear. So he became king. He became what led us. What I mean, the whole world. Is that the king? But the king has been dethroned. But the church is not aware. So in the blood of Christ, there's a strong fear of death. So you raise your prayer point and say, we just thank God for your people, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. We just prophesy to you, prophesy, may you be blessed. Now begin to think of authority of every demonic person standing up on their chair. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, every demon. Oh. Why at that time, what were you afraid of? That prayer was not from the Father, it was from here. Don't pray like that. It's the norm. This guy became king. He was changing soon. We'll pick it from 10. For it was an act worthy kingdom. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Good point of not today. To make the captain of their salvation perfect, through some princess. They were going to 14. So just Yeah. Okay, what is it? Watch this. Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of what? Flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared what? The same what? Flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him that had the power to destroy, there is to render powerless. Alright, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is what? So through death, so did Jesus die? That means he has rendered the devil powerless. The devil is powerless. The church should stop empowering the devil. He is powerless. Oh, but he did this. And then, in fact, one day we might end up blaming the devil for many things, and the guy will have a machine to say, it wasn't me.
Hey, that one was not me.
That one, you know, I mean, I've done wrong before. I've been there. I don't know about you. And then you want to say the devil didn't do it. But Galatians 5 said the works of the flesh are manifest, not the works of the devil. Flesh, the works of the flesh are manifest, and these are, he started adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and he went down the list. He didn't say works of the devil, he said flesh. So the guy one day would just say, excuse me, that was we just pushed too much power on him. And some of them, we're going to have to learn about the authority of the flesh. We put too much power on him. Okay, so you know that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death. That is 11, verse 15. We're going to read that by yourself. 1, 2, let's go. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime
subjects of bondage.
So that fear has been dealt with. The primary fear. And then you see like half of the church claiming one phobia after the other, one thing after the other, like no. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 makes it clear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given this thing to us. It's a primary fear. And you can meditate on this thing, point where every song just comes at you, you just laugh because you have to deal with this. God has no reason. God has no reason. Would the thoughts of fear come? Yes. What do you do with it? The Bible says resist the devil. So everything that is of the devil, you resist. Thoughts of your loss, thoughts of it. You resist it, you fight it. So, life and death, blessings and curses. So, where there is life, we have a blessing. Where there is death, there will be a curse. And Romans 5 again says that through one man sin entered, and when sin entered, death entered. And that is the curses follow. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. We have to run on that. Okay, we'll do this. Very true. The classic. Now it's upon the past. If you did any of the person of the Lord of God, which I have wrong commandments, which are mine, this day the Lord of God, set you high for all missions of your earth. And then all this blessing will come upon you and overtake you because you will be the voice of God. And then let's see how fast we can go. All right, let's go. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flock. Blessed be your basket, your storehouse. You don't have baskets right now, but we have bank accounts along with that, right? So blessed be you where you come into the Ontario, and blessed shall you when you go out of the Ontario. Even come out of your house, just go out, come in, There's a blessing. All right. So the Lord will cause your enemies that are like for your face, your communication one way, and for several ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon your storehouse, so bank accounts, or whatever, your wardrobe, everywhere. And in all that you set your hand to do, and he will bless you in the land. You know, I'm rushing, I shouldn't, we should, take out time on all of this.
So the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he swore, you know, to you. And if you keep it, so condition, if you keep, right, the commandment of the Lord your God, right, and walk in these ways. Verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth will see that I call by the name of the Lord and forget the interest of us. But I mean, Paul, like that. I love the gathering plenty of goods, fruit of the body, peace of livestock, and produce of the ground, and the land I sought to give your fathers. Right, verse 12. The Lord will open to his good treasure, heaven to give rain, and land, see that the best all over the land, and shall lend to many nations, and shall not borrow from them. Lord will make you head and not tail, and shall be above them, and not be, you know, if you heed again the voice of the Lord. And then, if you don't have your condition again. So we went from verse 3 to verse 13, talking about the blessing. Now I'm going to go from verse 15 to verse 66, talking about the curses. You know, maybe like they had to give Moses a check. When I was entering that part, it was long. Like, a master, I need to say, God's child, you can give me a master then. All right, and if you come past, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, you know, commandments, you know, the curses will come on you. Don't forget, he had said, you know, well, it's 30, so he's still going to say, I place before you what? Life and death, blessing and curses. So he's now showing them blessing, cursing. He's showing them, and he's now not making it sound vague. It's becoming descriptive. Your farm, your produce, your cattle. You know, so someone says, I'm going into poultry business. It has to be blessed. So they say, oh, there's something happening to chicken, chicken food, not your own chicken. You know, bird food, not your own birds. They say, this happened to the cattle, not your own cattle. Your cattle has to be blessed. Your cattle have to produce. So he's breaking the thing that your farm, your land, your children, your everything about you is blessed. He broke it down. Now he's going to break this one down. And it's not nice. All right? We won't be able to read all of this. But, you know, everyone right there has the blessing in front of it. Just imagine they have curses in front of them. All right? It was hard. Why did you do this one? Not good. 22. 22, yeah. Come on. And Lord will strike you with consumption, fever, inflammation, severe burning fever. And this is happening. Right? With the sword be scorching and will leave you, you know, your pursuit. Now, does it mean anybody that has to buy stress? No. I'm saying, when that thing comes, someone says, maybe God allowed you to be sick. You say, no. That thing is not going to work. That thing is because of death. So that's where your faith now comes. You say, I have to fight this now. That's why I said, they say, okay, every child that has to go to the pastor that fever. Fever is here. It's on the back guys. It's not the way. Not the way. You know? I mean, it's plenty. What? Let's read 23, 24. And the heaven over you, all right, will be what? Grass and earth and that you meet like the top, like the 24. And the Lord will make your rain to be powdered dust, you know, things as the top. 25. The Lord will cause you to be smitten before your enemies will come against you. I mean, you're defeated, your life is crashing down. 26. And your carcasses shall be meat unto the fowls of the air, and the beasts of the field, and no man will chase them away. That sounds like the first time you have a good accident somewhere. In a plane crash somewhere, nobody can find you. That sounds like that. That's how the birds will find the person on the road. Verse 27, the Lord will smite you with a bottle of meat, with emerald, with scar, with itch, with, you know. And then verse 28, the Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You will drop in noonday, and then you will be trotted white, but otherwise you will die in half. Now, that can only apply to you. You know, teeth broke into someone's girlfriend's house and then slept. Yes, I can say, you know, that's going to happen. You know, and then, you know, you will have an ox and then someone will kill it, you can eat from it. Maybe you build a business and the road is cracked.
some people just made profit off you. People could look at us and like, no, no. The son and daughter became the way the fruit of the land, labor, you know, again. This is part of this is part of this is part of this part of this part of this is bad, this is bad. If you can read this at home, so that you see and say, so this doesn't belong to me. This is not me. I'm going to fight this thing and say, anytime I see close to me, I'm going to fight it. I don't want to, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to see something what I'm feeling. And the Lord will make your place wonderful, and the place of the sea, and every great plague, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. And then you need to know how long have to 5 years, 18 years, 15 years, 12 years. That is just one thing to have the sickness if you don't have. That is not the sickness with long continuance. It's not right. It's wrong. Fight it. It's not right. It's wrong. Fight it. It's here. It is there. Here. And this is now called very well. Right? And then verse 60 says, moreover, you will bring upon you all diseases. So after you said, we did not continue, now we are running out of ink. So you want to quickly write all diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, they will cleave to you. 61 is like, ew. Also, every sickness, every plague, which is also not written in this book of the law. I mean, this man has to get a chair to sit down to bring his thing. And then I look at where at the time. Any sickness. But guess what? People read all of this. Now, verse 27, chapter 27 is kind of like horrible. And what I mean by that is some tribes have to stand on one side of this mountain, and then some tribes have to stand on this side of the mountain, and then they're, you know, speaking blessings and speaking curses. And it's like, what? But guess what Moses was doing? You read this and say, why was Moses cursing them? Moses was not cursing them. So what was Moses doing? Moses was basically telling them, listen, there's an umbrella of protection. Anytime you disobey, just walk down that umbrella. And guess what's waiting for you out there? And here it is. Moses was cursing them. But guess what he did? Neither was he blessing. All he knew was already, he was prophesying to them the blessing that belonged to them because of the children. That's what Moses did. These are your blessings. They are yours for their own kids. But if you disobey, these are the things that will happen. These things that happen in the world. So imagine if it's raining and then we hide under an umbrella. It's still raining, but it's not going to get to us. So that's what God did to them through Moses. He gave them an umbrella so they're well covered. They're safe. But Moses is saying, but if you make a mess, that umbrella slips off you. And then you're going to get a mess. Let's see how fast I can do this. That's why. Galatians. Speaking from the popular one, I won't explain that too much. It's popular. That's how I'm going. Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and 13. But what do you now say? Christ has what?
Redeemed
us from where? The curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, is really because I know I've told you before, I'll teach the English. What Christ redeemed us from is more than the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse that came in Genesis. It's more than the curse of the law. But we'll see. Now the blessing of Abraham and all the Gentiles in Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When I speak in the manner of God, so I want you to follow this. Let's simplify the language. Any else? Let's simplify the language. Great. Please follow. Language simplified. Dear brothers and sisters, here is an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend what an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. Please follow the case. Next verse. God gave the promise to who? Abraham and his child. And notice that it doesn't say the promise was given to children, as it's meant, as meant many descendants. But the promise was given to his child. That, of course, means who? Awesome and master of Abraham. Next verse. This is what I am trying to say, and this the church of Jesus must get. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with who? Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses, because God would be breaking what? That means that the child of God really has no business with the Ten Commandments. That means nobody actually should tell you, if you obey, you are blessed, if you don't obey, you are cursed. Because of the statement made to Moses, and then Moses made it to the people. God never made that statement to Abraham. And I don't remember anybody ever saying him, Moses blessed the man or something. He was saying Abraham's blessing. I'll take a few minutes. I need to explain this to you. This is what I am trying to say. And I like to I'm trying to say that the agreement God made with who? Abraham can not be canceled. 430. You can't, it can be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking what? His promise. Is this clear? I could explain it. Is it clear? God blessed Abraham and said, "You and your children are blessed forever and ever and ever." Moses comes 430 years later and says, "Hold on. Before you enjoy that blessing, let me give you some rules that number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, number one. And then it goes on. Hundreds of them. So it moves everything that God gave free, and he made everything to become conditional. So all the children of Moses, Abraham, now know if we're going to enjoy the blessing given to our father Abraham, we must fulfill conditions. Paul is saying Moses came 430 years after. He can't cancel what God. He can't cancel. Verse 18, one line for very part, one simple line. Okay, this is very simple. For if the inheritance what? Could be received only by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God gave it to Abraham how? So you tell someone, I have a gift for you. What's it? What is it? Maybe what's a Rolex wristwatch or Bulgari, something. You know, I really like your shoes or something. If I have something, you know, stiletto and 15 inches, not like that, right? But just, you know, I have this for you. I want to give it to you. I have. And then the person comes to you and says, "Well, hold on. You just have to help me with my laundry, help me out in the kitchen. Is it still a promise?" No. That's what's explained here. God gave it to Abraham free. Then the law showed up and said, "No, there are conditions to this thing." Paul is saying, "No, God gave it to Abraham free." The next question usually is, then why did God give the law? It's all answered there, just looking up at the thing. The law was only for a short time, and he has served his purpose. Many of the people who brought the gospel to Africa may never talk to us about Moses as harsh a lesson. Because it was never part of the gospel. It was the law of Moses was just one nation in the whole world. What nation is that? Israel. When Jesus died and resurrected, and they said, "Go to the Lord and preach the gospel, not preach the law." So everybody stepped out of Israel, but some stepped out with both the gospel and the law. So that was the problem Paul was having. If you read the book of Acts, with the circumcision party, saying we must still obey the law, most people were taking the gospel. So some were spreading both the gospel and the law. Some was brought to our churches, having 10 commandments, being at the back of the wall, or somewhere at the side in front of it. And we grew up with Moses and Jesus Christ in the same church. But Moses is the law. Jesus is not the law. Jesus is not the law. Yeah, I mean, oh my God, it's an interesting study. And okay, let's have a concept. Is that what we call it now? There are many ways I can explain this thing, but trust me. Two books, well, three books we could read this week if you want to understand the New Testament properly: Ephesians, Galatians, and Hebrews. Those three would be Ephesians, Galatians, Hebrews. Those three books. Well, the epistles, but I'm just highlighting. Galatians would blow your socks off. Hebrews, you're like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, and I know, but Galatians is sweet. But let's wait, this and now, like 6 months. You know what? Let's just read from 21, really. You know, so that it won't be like, we're caught up on the operation treatment, but the sensitivity. At least that's very difficult. That's a good thing. Well then, is there a conflict between what? God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the Lord would have given us what? Life. And life means blessing. We would have been made right, by obeying the law. But the scriptures have declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So the only way to receive God's promise is to believe in Jesus, all right? Now, you have to believe this, all right? Can we do this together? I want to go. Until faith came, Christ was shown to us as a way of becoming right with God. Until faith in Christ was shown to us as a way of becoming right with God, we were what? Guarded by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. 24. Let me put it in another way. The law was our guardian and our teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now, through faith in Christ, we are what? Made right with God, 25. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need. And then almost every Sunday, something talks about the law. And then there's something goes wrong with a Christian, you wonder what part of the law did I break? Why is it happening? And Christ has redeemed us. The law of person. So the part two. So next one is titled "You Are Loved and Accepted by God." So it's a good place to teach this. But if you do have questions, let me know about them at that time. I'll try and answer. But it's a very clear teaching. We have cards. If anybody needs. Now, I understand that some people might not want to hear the gospel, but once you say anything to them, but I just those instances where you just just give them something. There have been those instances, and if you're like me, I'm like, boy, I wish I had something to just add to this person. All right, so we're also working on like track and have words and everything, but this just says, okay. But it's dated, it's just for next Sunday. So if you would like to have a few copies, we're going to take it as a fan. If you would want to, oh, it's true, if you're on the live or what, or maybe you have a patient note, drop two there, drop five there. It's also right there at the back. It's just You know, I know it's not something many people are used to, but there are cases where it does not actually drop this thing and this person might come. And like I said, the topic is you are loved and accepted by God. And I know that a lot of people need to hear that. A lot of people need to know that God loves them, but accepts them, and there's no nothing. God loves them, God is waiting for them. No matter how long you do your answer, there's transformative power. Praise God. He's helping them bless anybody. Listen, for me, this is a great story. Right? This was maybe also Moses is not in station. Moses came and said, fulfill his own assignment to the nation of Israel and mission accomplished. Christ redeemed us from the curse of all. He means he redeemed us from all the curses to glory. So please, if you can, go over that to Hebrews chapter 28. What I said most of describing was just what's been happening all over the world and still happening till now. It was what happened when Adam opened the door. That was all. He opened the door and all those things happened. Dead to reign as the king. So let's have Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the revelation of the sinners, and how it grows in our hearts. We thank you. We thank you also, dear Father, because we know as we keep healing, it is our faith to rise. We thank you because you've shown us in your word that we have been redeemed. That the power of death, the power of fear, the power of fear of death, they have all been destroyed. They have all been destroyed. Thank you for my brothers and sisters right here. Thank you because we walk free from this. That we gain a greater revelation of our liberty that is in Christ. So that no yoke of bondage, no yoke of hell, nothing from the devil will ever stay on us because it don't belong to us. I speak to every situation and every circumstance. I declare that we walk in that liberty that is ours. That we walk in that freedom that belongs to us. Freedom from things that stuff in our minds. Freedom from things that stuff in our bodies. Freedom, because we're free indeed. We're free indeed. So bodies, we call you healed. Minds, we call you strong. Because we've been given sound minds. So minds, we call you strong. We declare you're strong in the name of Jesus. Bodies, we declare you are full of life and full of health and strength. In the name of Jesus, we declare also that because we're in Christ, we're full of favor. So we enter a week filled with favor. Favor on every single side. All that concerns us, as you said in the word, that the things we lay our hands upon will prosper. So we know we excel this new week. And we do well in it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so Bible study Thursday, 7:30. Time has changed today. So, all right, so change your class if you use any of them. And then there's this time I think on the gospel classes. So you have change your class. All right, so those Bible study 7:30. Last few classes, we were learning about our mind, our mouth, and our manifestation, the videos on YouTube. Bible study on Zoom. What are the announcements? So next Sunday, all right, we're reading about that. And please, if you for giving details, it's giving at SOCA, straight to the point, very simple. Giving helps us all to empower what God is doing here and what He's going to be. All right, so thank you for being in church. Have a great week.